Okay, John chapter 14. We finished verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's kind of what I was talking about. What does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Well, we put that little magic phrase at the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name. And then we can pray anything. We can pray for a winning lottery ticket. We can pray for God bless our sin and our rebellion. No, of course those things are absurd and even obscene. God is true to himself. But here's the thing. God is true to himself. I was using an illustration last week. I'm treating my wife really poorly, and I'm convicted of it. God, I don't want to be a jerk. I want to be a good husband. I want to treat your daughter, my bride, like you want me to treat her. Your word says you're to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And I'm a selfish jerk, Lord, but I don't want to be a selfish jerk. Will Jesus Christ answer that prayer? Yes. 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 Perfectly and forever? Oh, I may have to pray it once or twice, okay? I'm really a jerk. I may have, you know what I mean, and I'm being sarcastic here. But we pray, and you know, anything in me like this that you can see and say, well, you know, he's not that jerky. Hello, this is my point. Because I've prayed and I've asked the Lord. You don't think it's bootstraps religion, please. I'm a good guy. You know why? Because I've really, really worked hard at being a good guy. I never even talk like that, do I? Because it's absurd. No, I don't have that in me. I don't have that. And I've said before, God laughs at our white knuckles. If you're trying to live this book out by white knuckling it, Satan laughs at your white knuckles. Fruit, you know, and then just, there's an apple. Hey, it's great. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see. But if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I don't want to go on a legalistic diatribe, but he's saying something here, and it's for comfort. It's for blessing, okay? How do we know if we love Jesus Christ? We all say we love Jesus Christ. I mean, if I asked you, you'd say, well, Adam, that's an insult for you to even ask me that. Of course I love Jesus Christ. And then if I said, well, are you keeping his commandments? You would say, well, let's not talk about that right now. For instance, he starts this whole thing out. Let not your heart be troubled. You have a troubled heart? Stop letting your heart be troubled. Oh, Adam, that's just, he's just, don't make it like a command. I think it is a command. Verse 27 of chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is your heart troubled? Is it afraid? Now, it's the scripture says, at the end of the age, men's hearts will be failing them for fear. It's a fearful time. It's perilous times. And I almost understand, you know, when you're like, you watch the news and stuff, and I don't know why you would do that, but let's just say you do, and you get all worked up. Oh, it's this, look at what's happening. Oh, my goodness. And you get all, and your heart gets all troubled. I say this. I'm not one to get nerved up. And I don't want to hold myself up as the be-all and end-all. What's the answer? Why am I not worked up about everything that's going on? God's in control. That's all. So it's not a question of I'm trying to whip you into compliance. I want to bless you. You're focusing. Listen, my dear brother, my dear sister, who I love, if you're all worked up all the time, you're focusing on the wrong things. I worked with a partner last year, a young lady who had a hard hat sticker, okay? It's our culture. A lot of people wear stickers. I think 98% of them are stupid, if not obscene. But this was, it said, 1% girl, 99%, what's the word when you're all worked up all the time? Anxiety. 1% girl, 99% anxiety. She was. She had that vape. She had that out of her pocket every 8 seconds. She said she spent $200 a week vaping. And she had this old beater mobile that just barely spit and tissue a hole in it together. And I said, "This is your new truck right there." Every time she'd puff, I'd say, "This is your new truck right there. $200 a week? That's quite a truck payment." And "Oh, I can't afford this, and I can't afford this, and I can't afford..." Yeah. You know what you need? Well, she needs the cure tour is what she needs, but you know what you need? You need to let not your heart be troubled. You need to stop giving in to fear. Neither let it be afraid. And you have to, listen, I'm not trying to whip you again. I'm trying to comfort you. But we have to understand, fear comes from the devil. Every decision we make that's fear-based is wrong. Even if it's the right decision, we came at it the wrong way. I'm not doing that. Why? I'd be way too afraid. Well, how about this? Well, I'm not doing that. I don't feel like the Lord's in it. I'm not talking about rhetoric. I'm talking about you've prayed it through and you say, "I don't think that's where God's leading right now." That's a perfectly acceptable thing. God say, "I'm leading you in a place of discomfort. I want you to step out in faith." I call Abraham from his luxurious Ur of the Chaldees. You know, get in your Ur hall, move over here. You don't even know where you're going. And I'm going to be there. And I'm going to give you the land. That's kind of hard. 75 years old, think I'll start my life again over there. That's what faith looks like. It looks like obeying God. Is it, was he all nerved up? Was he a little bit anxious? I suppose he was. I don't know. I can't really say. But at the end of the day, we don't obey our fears. We obey our God. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you love me, keep my commandments. So what is the commandments? Well, there's 613 of them in the Old Testament. By the way, what's the first one? First commandment in the Bible. I said in the Bible. You're right. The first most important commandment, according to Jesus, is love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I guess I asked the question, if you start opening the Bible, start reading page, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Is that a command? No. He's not asking you to do likewise. Relax, okay? You don't have that in your repertoire. What's the first time he gives a command? What does he say? Be fruitful and multiply. So, if you're not married, or you have no desire to get married, and you don't have as many kids as God gives you, you're not obeying this commandment. Now, there are those who say that. Me, I would not be one of them. I'm not talking about, and I don't think God in the flesh here is talking about 613 commands. I think he's saying, listen, I'm telling you something. For instance, don't let your heart be troubled. Love one another. Think of this section. Think of what he's saying. He says, "You really love me? Well, do what I'm telling you to do then." And take it in that context, because I don't think, you know, you have to go out and, oh my goodness, what is kosher? Let's see, I was going to have chicken. I can have chicken. Okay, good. Oh, I was going to have bacon. No. I don't think that's what he's calling you to do. Don't eat bacon. Be circumcised if you're a man. Have as many kids as, put all that aside. Love one another. Stop being anxious, and on, and let's see. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Comforter, parakletos, one who comes alongside. It could mean advocate, like a lawyer. It could mean, you know, someone who just helps. By the way, women are given to men, wives are given to husbands for help. And I've run into women who are like, they bristle. That's it. What I'm supposed to do? Help him? I know your husband. He needs help. I'm just saying. Okay, this is the same word for what the Holy Spirit does. I'm giving you a helper. He may come along. So you and the Holy Spirit are pulling in the same direction as far as your husband is concerned. But don't you try to do the Holy Spirit's work. That goes bad. But he's a help, you're a help, okay? And you have your own function. He's another comforter. Who's the first comforter if he's another? Because there's two words for another, and I've said this before. The first one is allos, the second one is heteros. In the Greek, heteros means another of a different kind. Allos means another of the same kind. Jesus said, I'm going to send you an allos comforter, another of the same kind. Who's the first comforter? Jesus Christ is the first comforter. He says, he's going to be just like me. As a matter of fact, in some parts of Scripture, he's called the Spirit of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If you could wake up every morning and God could directly talk to you and order your life and tell you what to do and what to say and where to go, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It is a wonderful thing. And yeah, that's the promise. I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Is this a conditional thing? Because I know some people here are going to say, well, that's a wonderful gift. I'm not worthy. And to which I would say, duh. That's not even on the radar. It's not a question of worth. You say, well, you know, I haven't been as faithful as I should be, as I could be. Do you see anything there that says anything along those lines? As a matter of fact, he's going to be with you forever. What if I'm not faithful? He's still faithful. Well, what if I am living in sin? You're going to drag him right through all that because he's going right with you. That's what the promise is. It's a remarkable promise. He's going to be in you. This is unprecedented. There's no Old Testament where the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in somebody. The Holy Spirit is with them, like he was with Saul, because I'm talking about our study on Wednesday nights. He's with David. David didn't have the in of the Holy Spirit like you and I have. You remember when Jesus is talking about John the Baptist, he says, never a greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. You remember that? He's saying, like, wow, high praise. And he goes on to say, but he that's least in the kingdom, me, is greater than John. He said, Adam, you're greater than John the Baptist. In this, I'm the part of the bride of Christ. Who's John? Well, he said, the friend of the bridegroom. In our vernacular, the best man. Was he the bride? No. He is great, 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 and least, as far as anyone here in this room is concerned, who has the Spirit of God actually living inside you. Something that even John, even David, even Abraham, even Jeremiah could never claim. You're in a crazy good position. God has been very, very good to us. I'm going to give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever. Well, what if it's not on you. It's not. This is unilateral. I'm going to do this. Happened at Pentecost, and it's happened ever since anyone trusts in Jesus as their Savior. Now, there's a filling. There's a fullness. That's different. We can talk about that some other time, okay? But I want you to say, and on a basic level, the Spirit of God comes to live in you forever. Now, for some people, that's all there is, okay? He's just introducing the subject here. He's not giving you the full teaching regarding everything concerning the Holy Spirit of God. Here in verse 17, calls him the Spirit of Truth. Can the world receive the Spirit? No. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Incredible. Incredible. Listen, you weren't made to live this life alone. You weren't made to try to white-knuckle your way through this life. The Holy Spirit of God is given to you. He's a comforter. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's going to lead you into all truth. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Wouldn't his Spirit be the Spirit of Truth? I'm with Jack Nicholson when he's in the movie A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth, he says. And that's what the message is to America. Why? You don't have the Spirit of Truth living in you. So they say ridiculous things. Ridiculous things like, well, that's your truth. How ridiculous do you sound right now? You sound pathetic. We say, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And everyone bristles, and everyone hates that. What do you mean, no one comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ? That's very dogmatic. Listen, I got to tell you something, and I don't want to hurt your little feelings. The truth is always dogmatic. 2 and 2 is always 4. Always. Always. The truth is exclusive. Everything that's not the truth is not true. I don't know how else to say it. And it's not a moving target. Well, there is no real truth. Everything's subjective. What about that statement you just said? And if it's not true truth, why am I even listening to you? You hear people just, they go on with this, and then another people will stroke their beard like, yes, that's very profound. No, it's not. A 4-year-old can see through that. But this is who we are. This is what we've become as a society. And Jesus says, no, I'm the truth, and I'm the way, the only way to the Father. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth, and he's going to be in you. You know how I end up the way I end up able to teach this? The Spirit of Truth. Because if you know, you say, well, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know, right? It's not about that. Because I've said this before, you can be a great person of faith with not a shining intellect. The Spirit of God, it's got nothing to do with, you know, some people are very bright and some people are more simplistic. That's all. I'm not trying to be insulting. But the same Spirit will lead you into truth. I got something else I'm going to show you. This book is so profound and so deep and so incredible. The Spirit of God can lead you in a truth that nobody has ever seen before, ever. He can. I'm trying to give you, trying to think of an example, but I don't know one. Hasn't happened to me yet. But I've seen things, and I've connected dots, and I'm just like, and that people say, wow, that's really the Spirit of God. That's all. That's a demonstration of God working in me. I've told you this before. I can kind of quote, like, right off the top of my brain sometimes things I didn't even try to memorize at all. I've just been in this so much. And what, the Spirit of Truth, he has the word. It's not like it's a big deal to him. And he wants to use me and wants to, you know, show me. And it's, I don't want you to get this, you know, despair like, yeah, I don't get a great memory like Adam has. I'm like, I think it's more of just the Spirit of God working. I really do. But I want to get to this whole chapter. I'm kind of going kind of slow. But the world's not going to receive the Spirit of Truth. Can't. Because it doesn't see him, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you, listen in the Greek, orphanos. I wonder if we get a word from that. Yeah, orphan. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. I'm not going to leave you to fend for yourself. I wouldn't do that to you. And this is this promise to the disciples and to us through this passage. Just get out there and go for it. He pats us on the back and sets us out there and away we go. No, I'm giving you the Spirit. I'm giving you everything you need. How will we know where to go? I'm Spirit of God. How will we know what to believe? Spirit of God. How will we know anything? Spirit of God. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. And how is he going to come to them? In the form of the Holy Spirit of God. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. You remember after the resurrection? Only loving eyes see him. Only loving hands handle him. He doesn't go to like Caiaphas or Annas and say, here I am. Now what are you going to do? Big talker. He could. He doesn't. Nobody sees him after his resurrection and his ascension in heaven who went on Team Jesus except Saul. And Saul quickly joins Team Jesus, and we know the story, Acts chapter 9. But no one, he's only, hey, I'm going away. The world's not going to see me anymore. But you shall see me. I don't know how else to, I'm just going to read it. Because I live, ye shall live also. Promise of resurrection. Not the first time. These things, he says them over and over, and he says them a little different ways, so we get hold of it, so we can grab it. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I'm in you, you're in me, and we're both in the Father, and it's fellowship, and it's sweet, and it's wonderful. These words, I'm really inadequate. I'm really struggling here. I don't know if you know this or not. It's incredible what he's saying, and I don't know how to make it more incredible. Me and you, we're in God. You know, Creator? Yeah, we're in him, and he's in us. It's one big happy fellowship. Incredible. Do you feel like you're being whipped now? Because he's sure not whipping the boys. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make this again a legalistic diatribe. He's trying to like pile on blessing. He's dismissed Judas from these proceedings. I don't want anyone thinking Judas has got any part of any of this. He's saying, okay, boys, I'm going away, and here's what's going to happen. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I have to go away for a while. I have to do this redemption thing. I mean, I have to go to the cross. But here's what I'm leaving behind. You're not going to be orphans. You're going to know the Father in a way that you've never known him before. You're going to be in God. God's going to be dwelling in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He says it again. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Adam, you have said many times that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I just want to say this. There's love in his love. There's unrequited love. God so loved the world. Does the world love God? No. Unrequited by and large. But there's a love like that comes from obedience. He loved me when I was a reprobate. Does he not love me now that I'm his own dear son? There's love in his love. And there was, I didn't know his love before I was saved. Now I live in it. I don't know if I can communicate this really good. He loves you. Isn't that amazing? And you're saying, I know some of you are saying, okay, the people who are saying, yeah, well, of course he would. I'm so awesome. You get me very worried, all right? Frankly, I'm very nervous about you. The ones who said, yeah, but I'm not worthy. I know. I struggle with this. I wrestle with this. I'm not trying to make you feel poorly. I wrestle with this too. He shouldn't, but he does. And he couldn't love us more. He wouldn't love us less. You've heard me say that. It's incredible. I love you. I don't know. Think of me as the best father ever who wants everything for you. I'm not upbraiding. I'm not angry. I'm not crazy, Father. I'm loving, Father. I'm just blessing, Father. I want to give you everything. I want to take my arms, hug you right close to my bosom, and tell you how much I care about you. This is what I'm looking at. When I, you know, read these verses like this, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Has God manifested himself to you? I'm going to manifest myself. Doesn't anybody feel like God's very far away? And a question always is, who moved? Well, I haven't been putting him first. I haven't been trying to obey him. I haven't made him like centroid in my whole life. My whole being's about Jesus Christ. And then I feel like, and boy, I'm in a downward spiral now, aren't I? And I feel like he's far away from me. And I'm thinking, well, what happened? He said he'd be with me forever. He is with me forever. I'm not experiencing that close, personal, intimate relationship. Now, there are times when I'm all about Jesus. My whole life is centered on what can I do to please you? How can I worship you? How can I let others know about you? How can I just hang out with you and be your own dear son? And all of a sudden, he's very real to me all of a sudden. He's, as the word says, he's manifest unto me. And you'll know if you're married, you have times when your relationship is like at a fever pitch, and sometimes when it's kind of like, eh, You don't hate each other, I get that, but there's sometimes when there's a real, real intimacy and sometimes not. You can pull yourself away, it can heat up, depending mostly on you, and I think it's what's being said here. He's not divorcing us, he's not pulling away. We're just in a cool place because we're not obeying his commandments. We're not loving him like we're supposed to, and he's not as manifest to us as he is when we're trying to follow him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. And this is the only place in Scripture is another disciple called Judas. Someone say it's Labia, some this, some, I don't know, okay? I don't know. He says, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, that's a very good question, because Jesus said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he's going to draw all men to himself. And now he's saying, hey, I'm going to manifest myself into you in a very unique way, because not everyone's going to have access to the Spirit of God. The world can't receive him. It said back in verse 17, it doesn't see the Spirit of God, neither knoweth him. And by the way, not it, him. Some people say spirit and then it. Ooh, that's bad doctrine. You wouldn't call people it. Adam, he's a people? Yeah, that's why I like the Holy Ghost rather than the Holy Spirit. Because it's more, and people say, I don't like ghosts. It makes it sound like Casper the Friendly Ghost or something like that. Well, whatever. I don't care about semantics as much as I care about you thinking as the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, as him, not it. He's not an agency. He's not like, you know, we talk about, I remember like when I was a kid, we all were in like the spirit of 76. It was patriotism because it was the bicentennial. You remember? Well, no, most of you don't remember. But that was the thing because it was a spirit. Just an idea, a feeling. He's not an idea. He's not a feeling. He's a person. I just want us to always remember that. How is it that you're going to manifest yourself unto us but not unto the world? It's a good question. Jesus answered and said unto him, by the way, he's not upbraiding. He's not answering him, oh, ye of little faith. He's just answering a good question with a good answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. How many times has he said that in our study thus far? Three, the way I count it. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He hasn't said anything that he hasn't said already. He's just saying deeper in a different way. Love him, follow him, keep his commandments, and enjoy the presence, the manifest presence of God in your life. In a peace-giving, not troubled heart, kind of way. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Sounds like America. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. I think a woman should have a right to choose her own procreative health and blah, 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 blah. And you hear it just all the time, 24/7, if you tune into these things. You don't hear the Word of God being expounded on, well, I would mention one certain, but there's so many of them out there, so many news agencies, so many magazines and newspapers and information places that, well, they would purport to be information centers. But if you don't love Jesus, I don't really feel like you have anything really super important to say. And you might know something that I don't know as far as, you know, but you don't have anything life-giving, life-altering, if you don't love Jesus. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. He's not winging it. He's not coming up with all these ideas all by himself. You know what I'm telling you? Things God wants you to know, Jesus is saying. And by extension, he wants you to know. These things that I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is a big promise. Have you experienced this in your life? I think these people experience it in a way. Listen, what did he say? What did he do? He did a lot of things. John said if if all the books should be written about the life of Jesus, the world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written. So what is added? What's excluded? What's told in the Gospels? What is written about in the epistles? What does the revelation look like? Exactly the things that the Spirit of God wanted us to know. You with me? This is so important. Well, how am I going to remember all this stuff? I'm going to write a whole gospel, Matthew's saying. And Jesus saying, relax, the Spirit of God's going to guide you through the whole process. As a matter of fact, letter at a time. It'll be exactly what God wants written. Does this say that? It does in my mind. But to me, it just says, listen, I'm going to bring to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Sometimes I need a word, a specific word for a specific situation. And I can't tell you how many times I come up with it. A word fitly spoken. I do it to other people not knowing it. I do it to myself when I need it. Because I'm in a situation and I'm thinking, okay, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And then a word comes and I say, oh, yes, right. That's what the word says. And now wisdom says, okay, do that. Because I think a lot of times we know a thing and we count it as doing a thing. But those, no. How many times will we read in James where it says, you know, we look into the law of liberty, but we don't do what it says. It's like a man beholding his face in a mirror, walking away and forgetting what he looks like. No, we're not called on to hear the word only. We're called on to be doers of the word. Listen. This is so, so important. How many times God is speaking to our hearts and we, I know. Yeah, I know. And we don't do it. And then it comes back and, oh boy, I wish I was obedient. It would have saved me so much heartache, so much headache. It would have saved a marriage, would have saved a relationship, would have saved a whatever. I don't want to be, again, this isn't a diatribe, and I'm not pointing my finger and shouting at you to repent. But someone who loves you, don't keep walking through these stop signs. But God's saying, no, listen to what I'm saying. Do what I'm telling you to do. It's very important. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, of course, that's Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. He shall teach you all things. People come out of a cult, or like I did, like a lot of people did, or they're just growing, and they have all these weird ideas. You're nodding because you know. I don't worry about that. I mean, I really don't. We're going to teach the whole Bible. We'll get whatever is wrong what you're thinking. We'll get there. It's not a problem. The whole counsel of God. And in the interim, like, well, this is, you know, I just like God. Yeah, you think of weird ideas and you're kind of legalistic. We all took the legalistic trip, didn't we? We got saved and I'm going to super please God. I'm going to work so hard at being just and we tried so hard to... We gave up on trying to earn God's acceptance through our behavior, I hope. Maybe you're still going through that. I don't worry about that. If you have the Spirit of God in you, he's going to lead you in all truth. He really will. It'll take a lifetime to get there. I mean, think about truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Think about Jesus. There's a depth there that you're never going to plumb. I mean, he's inexhaustible. Really, but the things that God wants you, and he'll work these things out in your life. I don't get worried about that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now this is kind of underwhelming and overwhelming all at once. Underwhelming, why, Adam? Why would it be underwhelming? Peace, it's common greeting of the day. Shalom. Shalom. And people say it like, I would say to you, hey, how's it going? And you're like not moved. Now, am I asking because I'm really concerned about you or I'm just That's my opening salvo. That's how it is. Okay, I'm here, you're here, hi. How's it going? And it doesn't mean anything. Well, shalom is the same, can be the same. It's a common greeting, peace I give to you. Shalom. It's, by the way, in Israel, it's hello and goodbye. Aloha in the island, right? Hello and goodbye, right? It's like that. And by the way, when I'm saying hello and goodbye, you know, the thing was when they first started giving that greeting, hello, hell is low. That's an abbreviation for that. But heaven is high, and we say hi. It's an abbreviation for that. And we say goodbye, God be with you. God be with ye. That goodbye. Did you know any of that? Well, we don't even think in those terms. That's just our way to say, okay, I'm leaving now, but I'll see you later on. Goodbye. But if I'm thinking about it, I want God to be with you. I really want him to bless you while I'm not with you anymore. I hope God is just blessing your socks off. And that would be a good thing to say, right? But we just, because if I say hi to you, and you don't even think about where it came from or anything else, I'm just saying, hey, I'm here. Hi. You know, nothing. And this is Jesus. Peace. Shalom. No, it's not. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's not as the world gives. It's not that simple little shalom, right? The typical greeting. It's not that. I want you to have, and by the way, when a Jew says shalom to somebody, they're not just saying peace, absence from hostility. They're saying may God richly bless you with all his goodness. That's what shalom actually means, but it's come to mean hi. And then Friday night, you know, before sundown, you say Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, Saturday, right? The Shabbat. Peace, have a peaceful Sabbath, is what we're saying. And it could just mean nothing. Like it's come to me, no, just say, no, 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 no. I know, right? Peace, you hear it all the time. Jesus says, it's a common greeting. No, my peace. Whose peace do you want? He's going to the cross, and he's concerned with blessing others, and he's not concerned with himself even at all at this point. You know, if I had any peace, by the way, if some of you just had my peace, it would be an upgrade. But I'm not suggesting that that's enough for anybody. If you would have my peace or the peace of Jesus Christ, which one would you select? Well, it's not even a question. You select, you know, of all the peace in the world, it seems like you're a pretty peaceful guy, God. I think I'd want your peace. And he says, okay, given, granted, absolutely. Is God, would you think of God, Father God, on the throne, unflappable? Or you think him running around like a chicken with his head cut off? We pray to him, oh Lord, don't you see what's happening? He goes, oh, I never saw that. I didn't see that coming. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Said God, never to anyone, ever. Is he totally at peace? Yeah. Is he under attack? Yeah. Is he worried? No. And Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Now, a sudden, do you have anxiety anymore? And by the way, again, I'm not, this isn't a lecture. This is a blessing. Why? Why would you? He's so in control. Please, think this through. Pray this in. Lord, I have a lot of anxiety. I have a lot of worry. I have a lot of concern. My middle name is anxiety. I want to be more like you. He's like, I will give you that. I would totally give you that. This isn't lecture. This is blessing. Okay? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you feel a little bit better now, a little bit? Because I hope you do, because You don't have to work out all the situation. And have you been like up at night and your brain is going a million miles an hour and you're trying to think of all the different things and you got yourself all in a tizzy about like, oh, I can do that. I can still do that. What do? Pray. Why are you concerned? Cast all your cares on me. I care for you. I'm here. I am so worried about your life that you don't even have to worry at all. And I say worried, you know what I mean. I am concerning myself with you as your father so much you needn't concern yourself at all. Oh, pay the electric bill, right? But don't worry about it. Don't get yourself into a... And the reason I'm saying this is because I see people, the Church of Jesus Christ, in a state of constant anxiety. And God's saying, I'm right here for you. You don't need to be. You're anxious? Be anxious in nothing, but by everything, in prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. That's one of those verses I never try to memorize and just came. Just telling you. I never did. See? And I don't know if it's word perfect, but it's pretty close. But that's the Spirit of God who's teaching me all things and bringing to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. I really think so. Oh, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. What's the going away? Death. What's the coming again? Is it resurrection? Yeah, I think so in the short term. But in the long term, you and I, he's coming again. As the chapter began with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And now he says, you've heard me say, I'm going away. I'm going to come again unto you. And if you loved me, you would rejoice. I don't love you. I do love you, God. I'm not excited that you're going away, all the disciples would say, because they haven't been through it yet. They haven't been through Acts chapter 2 yet. They're in the short term looking at like, I thought the kingdom was going to happen. What's going on here? And their worldview is shaken. And yours will be from time to time. Your world will be turned upside down. This tribulation, we're going to look at that in a verse or two. This tribulation, your world will be upside down. But here's what I'm telling you. If you love me, you rejoice, because I said I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. I want to tell you something about this. He's not saying that he's not divine. I remember arguing with a guy. I went back way, way back when I was in the Marine Corps. Just an obnoxious snot. And if you're listening to this message, you're an obnoxious snot who kept saying, oh, you know, I was telling about the divinity of Christ. No, God is greater than Jesus. This is what the Bible says. And if it tried to make a point, like a gentleman would, and say, oh, no, God is greater than Jesus. It's like, no, he's an obnoxious snot, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now I will, as a gentleman, answer, teach you, and answer him. See how that works? How is God greater than Jesus? Positionally, that's all. Father, Son. Jesus has submitted. There's an equality. There's not like God, Alpha God, Beta God, Gamma God. That's not it at all. There's an equality. It's the Godhead, okay? Who's greater, me or Sue's? You say, Sue's by a lot. Well, the question is greater in what? That should be a good question. Greater in importance. Well, Adam, there's no male or female in Christ. God loves you both the same. You're equals in every major way that I can see. Okay, who's got more responsibility? The buck stops here. I'm the head of the house. She doesn't, I do, have the greater responsibility. So greater in the sense of responsibility. So the question is always greater how, greater what. And she's saying greater positionally. Father, God in heaven, and I willingly submit to his will. It's not like there's a conflict. Like there's, you know, big league God, Father God, and this junior God who's like, well, I don't know, Dad. I don't see it that way at all, but okay, you're the boss. We'll do it that way. No. Greater positionally, Father, I'm the Son. I submit. And he's showing us willing submission to to authority. That's all. And the Father's greater than I totally get that. Better, more God than I? I don't think he's saying anything like that. Disavowal of his godhood? Certainly not. Certainly not. My Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Why? Because you're going to know that I'm a prophet, that I'm telling you because I know what's going on. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. I have a footnote, has no interest in me. I don't believe that for a second. Oh, he's got quite an interest in you. He's got nothing on me. He's got nothing in me. He's got no hooks in me. He's got no toehold, handhold, foothold, stranglehold, nothing. I'm going to the cross, but that's going to be my doing. It's not going to be me submitting to Satan. It's me submitting to the Father and carrying out what would be Satan's plan, but it's also overlapped with God's plan. It's what the world needs, and Satan doesn't have a clue. Satan's coming, but he's not. Yeah, he's got nothing on me. He's got nothing in me. And is it true about you and Satan? He's nothing in you? Because I want it to be. You know, don't believe anything he says. If it's contrary to Scripture, it's satanic. He'll get a toehold, and then it will become a foothold. And it will become a stronghold. And a stranglehold. And it's not easy to extract yourself from it, but you can through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But you stop believing what Satan says, which is not truth. The Spirit of God will lead you into all truth, but you gotta renounce what Satan's told you. This is really a process here. If that's true of you, you come and see me. I will lovingly pray with you. I would not reprimand or anything else. The prince of this world, Satan, is coming. He has nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And here they go. So the dinner's over, and now they're headed to the garden. Why? I've got an appointment. There's a guy there, going to come there, Judas, he's going to come and lead the Romans, they're going to arrest me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's now the passion proper starts. And he still has ministry to his followers on the way to the garden. Chapter 17 is mind-blowing, incredible. Chapter 16, chapter 15, he gets a lot more things to say and a lot more opportunity to bless us as he blesses his disciples.